Beginning the current daf, Masech this might cut in daf ches, we begin several lines down at the top of the Yomid. We continue the discussion from the previous daf. In other words, we said in our previous Mishnah regarding, we were talking about a Moyed, certain leniencies. So we added that the discussion regarding that we're not going to look or we're not going to declare regarding a nega because a Moyed is a time of Simcha. We don't want to cause tsar. Now, one of the sources for this halacha was the Pasuk Uvayim Herder Oyesboy. As Amamar, as the Gemara quotes, the Master has said, from the word Ubayim, we say, Yesh Yom Shatter Doyeboy. Yeah, some days you're going to look at it as a Kayan to make it and declare it if it's Tomei or not. But Yesh Yom Shatter Doyeboy, and there's certain days that you're not going to look at it. And like we said, that will exclude a Chasan, a Regel, because we don't want the person to become Tomei. Says Mamai Mashma, what's the understanding of, where do we see here in the Pasuk of Ubayim Heroisboy that there are certain days yes and certain days not? So Mabai says, because in Cain, if it was every day, it should have said, in the day that you see it, then you go ahead and you do this procedure. My uva yoyim, what's the extra vav? No, we can infer from that, that and on that day, that extra vav is telling us, because it's not every day. There's a day that you'll look at it, and there's certain days that you're not going to look at it. Which is from the vav. The vav is what we darshan. Ravam, he says, as Tais explains, not necessarily does he disagree, but he's saying that even if without the vav, kulikra, the whole word itself of uvayoyim hara'ois, is Yisayru who is extra. Because Dimkain, if that's the case, lichta b'chwana uvahara'ois. It should have just said, and when he sees it, my uvayoyim, what does that have to do with the day that he sees it? Shema Menoah, we can infer from that as Yeshim Shatiroyeboy, but Yeshim Shatiroyeboy. There are certain days that you do look at it, certain days that you don't look at it, which one of them is the halacha of Mishnah on the regular, other one is a chas, and there are certain days that you don't. Now, Vabaya, who didn't bring it from the whole word, only from the Vav, is because Hahumi Baili says, no, the word Bayim, you actually need it, it's not extra. It's to tell you, Bayim Balei Balaila, the Kohen could only look at it during the daytime, not at nighttime. The Rava, so the Gemara says, yeah, Bayim Balei Balaila Manole, if he's using the whole word to expound the Dasha, not the Vav, so then where does he know that they could only be looked at day and not at nighttime? It says Gemara Nafkali learns it from a different passing of the Yikra. It says, Melchol Mare in their coin to the entire vision of the eyes of the coin, which sounds like at the daytime when he could see. Vabaya, he says, Bahumi Bayali, that you need to teach something else. Lemu'ute Suma Ba'achas Me'inav, that it comes to exclude if he's blind to one of his eyes, that he can't see Lechol Mare in their coin. That's what the pasuk is used for. It says Gemara, yeah, but Rav Naim Bayali Lachi, he also needs that pasuk for that. So Gemara says, Anachanami, you're right, that's what he needs it for. So the Elohim went back to the question, where does he know it's at daytime, not at nighttime? So it says Gemara, Nafkali, he learns it out from a different pasuk that says, Mekenega nearly babayis, that he says, something like a nega, it appears to me in the house. What does it mean, to me? Li b'loy, it appears to me and not to my illumination. Meaning, I don't need the light of a candle, and because I could see it by myself, which is at daytime. And that's what the owner of the house is telling to the kohen. And then it says that timing right after the next pasuk, uvaha kohen, the kohen comes. Obviously, that he only comes to see it during the daytime. The Baye, he would tell you, no, you can't learn out from there. Because ima hasam, if we learned out from that pasuk of, from kenega nirali babayis, that's, yeah, li, v'loy lo'iri, has to be during the daytime. That's tomana bias. There's different negoyim. Now, if we learned it from there, Havamina, I would have said Hanamila Tuma de Lav de Gufe, only by Tuma that's not of his own body, let's say of his house, that has to be during the daytime. Ava Tuma de Gufe, but a Tuma of his body, is which what we're discussing over here in the Halacha of a Mishnah regarding looking at a person on the Yimayid, I would say Ava Lo'irinami that even for the light of a candle that you look at it, Kamash Malan, therefore we needed Uvayoim Hara'oiz Bai, it's Tuma Bayoim, and it's saying Bai, because Bai is a Tuma of his own body. So therefore, that's why we needed Vayayim to teach you that. And therefore, according to Bai, you only know it from the Vav, and not like Rabbah who said you know it from the whole word Vayayim, which is extra. To now look at the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, which we had Reb Meir, who had a leniency on the Chayla Shamayid, which he said that you'll look at a Negev, but only Lekula, Beloy Lechumra, to make it Tar, not to make it Tame. So on that, so our Mishnah continues, said Va'oid Am Reb Meir. Another leniency, Remeir says, in regards to the halachas of Chayla Shemayid, says, Malakit Adam Atmas Aviv Ima. A person could gather the bones of his father and his mother and bring them to somewhere else to bury it where the family burial plots are. Nishasim Chilai, because that's rejoicing for him where he could bury them by where the family is buried and not be pained on the Chayla Shemayid that they're not buried there. Rebisim, he says, no, you're not allowed to gather the bones because Evil Hulai. That's mourning for the person on the yom of the likud of the atzamas of the gathering of the bones, and therefore one has to refrain from that on Chayla Shemayit. Another related halacha, if someone has a relative that passed away a month or two before the Mayid, lo ya'ir adam al meser, which the Gemara is going to explain, literally means say, oh, to awaken a person on his relative who passed away, in the Eretz Yisrael, they would have eulogizers who would go around. And what we're saying is that a person should not hire a eulogizer for his relatives, that the person goes around and says, cry, my people, a bitter cry for this person that's passed away. A person should not hire one of those people. And b'leyes bideno. If let's say a person has a relative that died within 30 days before the Yom Tov, he should not hire a eulogizer to eulogize that relative. If it's kain l'regel, shleishim yayim, and there's going on both of these halachas, if it's 30 days before the Yom Tov, and the Gemara will explain what's the reason 30 days before, one should not hire these people, which they go around, or they, in general, to awaken about the loss, or to actually, when the actual Levaya of the Hesped is, should not hire someone 30 days before the Yom Tov. But first, regarding the opening halacha, the Mishnah, the Gemara says, Verminu, the Gemara has a contradiction from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Hamalakat atzmas av v'ima, if someone gathers the bones of his father and his mother, Harezim mis'abal alim kol yom, so there's halacha of mourning on the parents, although they didn't die now, but it's like some type of mourning again, fresh, because they're gathering the bones and moving it somewhere else, which that's a difficulty on Reb Meir, because he said it's a simcha, and therefore you're allowed to do it on Chodesh HaMoed. But in the evening, there's no halachas of avelis. And if Amr Rav Chizr said, afila tzrun lebesadinoi, that even if he's not even gathering them, and he doesn't even see them, they're bundled in his kerchief, he still has to mourn as long as they weren't buried. So how could Reb Meir say in our Mishnah that it's a simcha that you could do in Chalash HaMait? So Abaye says, Ema say, Mnesha simcha seregel olav. Say, because he has the joy of the Yom Tov. In other words, he's so happy now because he has the simcha of the Yom Tov, and therefore he's not going to be so much pained by the gathering of the bones of his father and his mother. Of course there's avelis. But it's not saying that this is a simcha because he has so much simcha, it's okay, it won't bring him down so much, and therefore he could do this. And I said in the Mishnah, v'lo ya'ar al meisai, that they should not have those who awaken on the dead. Says my lo ya'ar al meisai, what does it mean that a person cannot do this 30 days before the Yom Tov? Amarav, he says, Kad hader savdana b'marava, when the eulogizers who would go around in the West in Eretz Yisrael, Amri, they would say, Yivkanime, they should cry with him, kol merida liba, all the bitters of the heart. This is forbidden 30 days before to say it on the Yom Tov. So the person should not have people awakening. You know, you hire these people that go in and say, oh, what a loss we've had for this person who passed away. This cannot be done, and neither can you hire a masbid if a person actually died. 30 days before the Yom Tov. Why specifically 30 days before the Yom Tov? So Rav Kahana, Rav Yehuda, Rav, he says, because there was a story with one individual. He had gathered money for the trip to make the pilgrimage to the Beis Hamikdash on Yom Tov. Now there was a eulogizer, this is their profession, that came around. He knew he lost a relative recently and came to the opening of his house. And his wife went and took the money that he saved up to go be on the regal and gave it to this eulogizer to pay him for his services. And then, therefore, the person held back and wasn't able to go be on the regal. In that moment, they said, then the person should not have this person that awakens people. What's going on? Don't you realize that we lost this person and neither to pay for the actual levaya that he's eulogizing? This should not be done 30 days before the Yom Tov, which is the time that a person preparing the provisions to go, and it's going to be lost out if you're using it for the Savdan. That's one pshat. Shmuel Ami says another interpretation as a continuum in Beis. He says, Lafisha ina mes mishtakech min alev shleishim yayim, because a person who passed away is not forgotten from the heart for a period of 30 days. In other words, since it takes 30 days, if you're going to be eulogizing within 30 days of the Yom Tov, you're going to come to like be eulogizing on the Yom Tov itself because you didn't forget about him, and therefore we don't want this to be done within 30 days. So the Gemara says, "My benai, what's the difference between these two interpretations? The difference between them is the ka'avad bechinam, if the eulogizer is doing it for free. So according to the one that says, because of the money that it prepared for the Yom Tov, so since he's doing it for free, that's okay. That's not a problem. And you'll be able to do that. According to the one that says, because the mess is not forgotten from the heart for a period of 30 days, even for free, would be problematic because of the fact that one is still thinking about that mess now for the next 30 days, which includes Yom Tov. Which Taisa says, this would only be problematic by a saftan, by a eulogizer. But the person himself is permitted because it's going to actually help him rejoice at a later time if he's able to get through the difficulty that's in his heart right now. Today, look at the next Mishnah, continuing on a related theme regarding someone passing away. In this Mishnah, we discuss that of burial. One is not allowed to dig kochen, which we're going to explain what those are, catacombs and kavaras and graves, on Chol HaShemayid for the purposes of the dead, which they used to dig these catacombs and graves in time when they needed for people who were going to die. And again, like we said in the opening Mishnah of our Parak HaMasechta, that a tircha yisera, when it's overly exerting oneself, which obviously it takes to dig a grave, that's going to be forbidden on Chol HaShemayid. But one could inaugurate a catacomb on Chol HaShemayid. The Gemara is going to explain what that is. And also, you can make a pool that's used by the launderers, which it's not such a tircha, which Tais explains, well, why are you making a Chol HaShemayid, but you now do laundry and use a Chol HaShemayid. So Tais says, either it's actually, like says in the last parak on David Gimel Mabez, that there are certain people that are allowed to do laundry on Chol HaShemayid. Or actually, some say that this pool was actually not for laundry, it was actually to bathe in the tahara process, the dead person and the tachrichen. So therefore, that would be permitted, and therefore you're allowed to make such a pool on Chol HaShemayid. It's not such an exertion. And va'aron, you could also make the coffin, the ark, im hames, with the dead person that's b'chatzer in the quarter. Meaning, if the dead person is there, then you're allowed to make an aron and to go ahead and cut the pieces of wood for the purposes of the aron and to make the whole coffin, but not in another courtyard, because then people are going to say, hey, he's just doing work. But if the dead person's dear, so then it's evident. Rabbi Yehuda Eiser says it's forbidden to bring wood and to make the planks for the purposes of the coffin. Elim ken yeshim in the sarm. Only if he had planks already from before Yom Tov, then you would be able to go ahead and make the aron. So the Gemara clarifies, says, my kuchen and my kvaris, what's this? What are kuchen and kvaris that we're saying that you're not allowed to do them on Chol HaShemayid? I'm reviewing this as kuchen of bechfira, which digging in the ground, meaning in the wall, which are catacombs in the cave. The kvaris in the grave, bebinyan, are in a structure that's over the ground. Tanhach is similar in the brei, sailing kuchen, melikvailing kvaris. What are kuchen, what are kvaris? Kuchen of bechfira are with digging, and kvaris, bebinyan, is on a structure. Now the Mishnah said, but although you can't dig, but you could inaugurate a kuchen. Says Gemara, case of machanch. What does it mean to inaugurate it? Rabbi Yehuda says Shem Hoya Aruch. If it's long, mekatzer, you could shorten it. Masnita Tehana. In the Braisa, we learned that Maruch Ba, you could lengthen it, or Maruch Ba, you could widen it. In other words, you can inaugurate it to get it using, but you can't go ahead and initially go ahead and make that on Chol HaShemayid. Said in the Mishnah, Ma'isin the Berechas of Chulu, you can make this pool on Chol HaShemayid. So Gemara, my Nevrechas, what is this Nevrechas? Rabbi Yehuda says Zubaki, it's like a pond. Says Gemara, by the time I learned the Braisa, Hanevrechas va Bekia, and Bekia is a pond. Rabbi, every time someone says Rabbi Kahana, it's Gihu Ubargia. In other words, Nevrechas is a large pool that they make in the courtyard, which that's where they gather their all the wastewater. And Bekia is what we call Bargia, which is a small pool that they make near the big one so that the water could gather that comes out from the big one into the small one, which is full, and then it gathers into the small one. So they're both just a larger and smaller type of a pool. And we said in the Mishnah, you can make the coffin if it's with the mess in the courtyard. In other words, if the mess is in the courtyard, it's obvious that you're doing it for the purposes of the dead person, then you're allowed to make the aron in that same courtyard itself. Says Gemara, Tanin lo hadetan Rabban, this supports the halacha of a Mishnah to what was said in the following braisa. Oisin kol tzarcha ames, you could do all the needs of a dead person. Goes in leisari, you could cut his hair, umachavasin lechasusa, you could wash his clothing. Vaisin leoren, you make a coffin for him, manasin hamasar, minasarim hamanasarim, abyamtim, from the boards that were cut from before Yamtiv. In other words, if your boards that were prepared from before Yamtiv, because like Rabbi Yehuda, this would be a great effort, a big tircha to do it on the Chol HaShemayid itself. But if it's prepared, then you can make it. Pshim Lilam, he says, Av Mavi and Eitzim. No, he was like the Talikam of a Mishnah. You could even bring wood, Umanasun, Betzin, Betech Besin, and you could cut those planks discreetly inside his house. Then I'll look at the next Mishnah, continuing regarding halachas of Chol HaShemayid. Ein Nisim Nashim B'Maid. One is not permitted to marry women on Chol HaShemayid. Loi Besulais, Beloi Amonais, not a virgin, not a widow. Beloi Miyabim, you can't do Yibim, which is when the brother, his wife, and his brother died without any children, cannot do Yibum, because it's rejoicing for him, all these marriage and Yibum. And the Gemara is going to explain why can't you do that on Chol HaShemayid. Shteisa says it means to say taking back from if he had once been married, not just engaged, had been married and they got divorced and he's remarrying her, which is not such a joy that you could do. And Va'isa Isha Tachshitel B'mayit, a woman could make her adornments, which the Muslim doesn't explain exactly what that list is. She could make those ornaments on Chodesh HaMoed. Yehuda, he says, however, like Tassud, she just shouldn't apply the lime to her face. Neshanibulah, because it's a disgrace for her now on Chodesh HaMoed when she's applying this cream and it's going to pain her, and therefore she cannot do that on Chodesh HaMoed. Hahedyet, a regular person, a common man, Taifer Kedarker, could sew in the normal way. But Uman, if a person has a tailor or a professional machlev, they have to then stitch in an abnormal way. Umasagin is a mitis, the Muslim explains exactly what this is, but you could weave the beds. Rabbi Yisam, he says, Mematchin, no, you tighten the beds. So the Gemara asks that you're telling me that you're not going to get married, no matter what the girl is, the woman is, and you can't do yibum, because he said, oh, it's a simcha for him. What's the problem if it's a joy for him? What, is it forbidden to be happy on Yom Tov? I mean, can you get anything further from the truth? Some says, yes, because you're not allowed to mix one joy with another joy. In other words, yes, of course you have to be happy on Yom Tov. And actually, it's a Torah directive. But the simcha has to be with the simcha of the mayid and not with something else, with that of a marriage to someone else. And as Tosha explains, where either you learn that from a pasuk Mal Shavua Zois has to be specifically just for that of the simcha, or Enos and Mitzvah Chavilas. You don't make bundles, it has to be purely for this one thing itself. A second interpretation, Rabbi Barav Huna, says, because it's a very practical thing. You're gonna leave the rejoicing of the Yom Tov, basically B'Simcha Seshti, and he's going to be involved in the rejoicing of his wife. So it's not so much about intermingling, it's just that he's going to leave the joy of the Yom Tov. And normally by Rabbi Yisiv, he says, Hodir Rabbi Barav Huna, that we just quoted right now, is really the Rav, it's from the teaching of Rav. Because Amar Rav Daniel Barkatina Amar Rav, he says, Minayin She'in Noisim Noshim Emayit, from where do we know that you cannot marry a woman on Yom Tov? Shlomo, it says in Pasuk in Devarim, it says, B'samachta B'chagecha, you should rejoice in your Yom Tov, B'chagecha, V'lei B'yishtach, it's telling you in your Yom Tov and not with your wife. Which means it should be together for the Yom Tov, but it's about the Yom Tov, not about specifically that of rejoicing for the wife. A third interpretation, Ulama, he says, M'neha Toirech, because of the effort that you're going to have to put in for the chasna, for the wedding, and a tircha on maid is forbidden, and therefore that's why we don't make chasnas, we don't make a wedding on the chodesh maid. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcham, he gives a fourth interpretation. It says, because of nullifying the first mitzvah in the Torah of having children, being fruitful and multiplying. Because if it's permitted for a person to get married in Yom Tov, so that's the best time when people are off from work, no one's going to get married the rest of the year, they're going to wait till Yom Tov time. And they're going to make, because anyways you have so much food, and you can make one suda for the mayid and for the nesuin, and then people are not going to have the children because they're going to be pushing off so much. So therefore, we say that no, you can't even make kudan yom tov, so you're not going to run into that problem. Now, Taisa says, what's with saying you can't make a suda of the mayid into the suda of the wedding? What's with a suda of a bris milah? Taisa says that you can do a chalash mayid because it's not such a joy because there's pain for the baby, or because it has a set time, so you wouldn't nullify it for this reason alone. And also, it's not really considered ma'arvin simcha b'simcha, because that's only why simchas nesuin would be that. But simcha b'bris milah, that wouldn't be considered a problem of intermingling that with the simcha of the Yom Tov. Now, the Gemara says meisvi. The Gemara, however, has a question from the following b'raisa. The b'raisa is called elusha amra surin lisa b'mayid, all those that we said that you're not allowed to go ahead and marry on chalash amayid, as a continuing type of testament alf, but mutarin lisa every regal, but you're allowed to get married the Erev Yom Tov. And that's permitted even initially. And even though the Sheva Brachas, the Shiva Zimei HaMishtah, are going to be in the Yom Tov, that's okay. So says the Gemara Kashal Kula, it's difficult on all of them. But it's involving Tircha, and the Simcha is going to be going into the Yom Tov. Why allowed to get married in an Erev Yom Tov? Says the Gemara Loikash, not difficult on any one of them. As the Gemara explains, the Mandam Mishum Simcha, according to one that says, which are really the first two interpretations, that the reason why is because either you're going to leave the Simcha Yom Tov or you're going to be mixing it with the Simcha Yom Tov. That's not a problem, because Ikar Simcha, the primary joy of the Chasna of getting married, is Chad Yom, who is the day of the wedding. And all the other days of the Sheva Brachas is not considered as Ma'arv Simcha B'Simcha, and you're not going to leave it as if for the Simcha of the Yom Tov or the Simcha of the wife. It's the primary, is the first day, is Chad Yom. According to one that says, because you're going to be exerting yourself for the simcha, and you're not supposed to do tircha on Chalash HaMayit. Ikatircha, the primary exertion of the wedding, is Chag Yemim, who is one day, is the day of the wedding itself. Not Sheva Brachas is not so much. According to one that says that, oh, if we let you do it at this time, then people are going to push it off till Yom Tov time, and people are not going to be having the children as soon as they can. For one day, a person would not go ahead and push that off. In other words, since you could only start on Erev Yom Tov, a person wouldn't wait till Yom Tov, because maybe something's going to happen. He's not going to be able to do it on Erev Yom Tov, and then he's not going to be able to do the whole Yom Tov itself. So once we already said that he cannot do it on Yom Tov, which that's definitely a great opportunity, to go ahead and try to get it for that one day of Erev Yom Tov, a person wouldn't push off getting married for that, and therefore we don't have to be concerned, and we can let you get married Erev Yom Tov, as long as we're not letting for the whole Yom Tov itself. For that one day, is not going to push it off, and people will have weddings on all other days, and therefore we won't run into the problem of Bikkur Perev. And all interpretations make sense, that although we say you're not going to get married on Yom Tov, a person could get married on Erev Regel, on Erev the Yom Tov.